All right, so we have 14 young men and women here today who look so dapper with their suits and their dresses on. So, why are you guys all dressed up? What's special? Oh, yes, sir. Today is your first communion. What does that mean? What are you going to have? What's going to happen at this Mass that hasn't happened at other Masses? Yes, young lady. Help me out. I'm old. You're going to become a walking tabernacle? Oh, I like it. Yeah, right? Because Jesus Christ is going to enter into your life. I like that. Ooh, you better copyright that. That's good. How is Jesus going to enter into your body? In what way is he going to do that? Right? Are you going to, yes, sir. You're going to receive Jesus. In what manner? Are you going to get a pizza? Are you going to get a burrito? Or are you going to get bread and wine? I'll help you out here. What are you going to get? Bread and wine. Yeah. Okay, good. Right. So you're going to receive Jesus under the appearance of bread and wine. Now, not everybody believes what we believe. Recently, I was reading an article, and this person wasn't very nice to Catholics, and this person said that we are cracker worshipers. And I thought, well, I might be a cracker, but I don't worship crackers, okay? Some of our Protestant brothers and sisters, they have a communion service, but they don't believe what we believe, right? We're going to become a walking tabernacle. I love it. Because the body, blood, and soul, divinity of Jesus Christ is going to enter into our bodies under bread and wine. So I wanted to say, like, how do we believe this? Why do we believe this? Because this is a very important part about being a Catholic Christian, this understanding of the Eucharist, the source and summit of our faith. So to understand it, we got to go back a long time ago to Genesis 14. It's about the time your parents were born, right? So we're going back a real long time ago. And in there, it's the first time we hear that bread and wine is mentioned in the Bible. There's a guy named Abram. He's not Abraham just yet. He'll get there. And he goes to battle because there was his nephew Lot was taken captive. Kind of like the Avengers, right? There was a big battle going on and needed superheroes to go and get him. So he goes and he saves Lot. Now to give thanksgiving, he's going to offer a sacrifice. But all of a sudden, this other guy comes along, Melchizedek, and he kind of says, I got this. And Hebrew scriptures tell us that he offers bread and wine to God. It was offering this to thank God, to say, thank you, God, for saving the day. Thank you for saving Lot, who had been taken captive. All right? Another reference we see in the Bible with bread is the Passover meal. So who can tell me, where were the Israelites enslaved? Where were they? And then Moses had to go and bring them out. Anybody can think of that one? Was it in China? Was it in Egypt? Or was it in Venezuela? Egypt. Good for you. All right. So they're in Egypt. And how many plagues did God send to Pharaoh to get him to listen? How many plagues? Can you remember? 10. Oh, man. Superstar over here. 10 plagues. And the 10th plague was the Passover meal. So there's a couple things they were told to do. They were told to get a lamb, and they were going to have a little lamb supper, right? So they took the blood and put it over the post and little of the doors. And that night, death would pass over their house, and everybody would be safe. But there was also unleavened bread. Unleavened bread would have been on the table as well, because they had to get out quickly. It didn't have time to rise. So we see this understanding of God saving us from slavery through this miraculous bread, through using bread and other symbols. Now they start journeying, right? They're going to leave Egypt, and where do they want to go? The Promised Land, right? So they're going to go to the Promised Land, and as they're traveling, they traveled for 40 years in the desert, okay? So if you know me, you know I like to hike, and I lived in Arizona for 5 years of my life. And if you go hiking in the desert, you better bring a lot of food and a lot of water. Because if you get stuck out there, it might not work out too well for you. You know what I'm saying? But for 40 years, this is a long time ago. There was no Taco Bell. There was no Safeway. So where are you going to get food? And they start complaining. They say, God, at least when we were slaves in Egypt, we had something to eat. But here we are in the desert with no food. What does God send down from heaven for them? What came down from heaven for them to eat, the Israelites, as they were journeying in the desert? Bread. Oh, so if you're following the pattern here, bread's probably going to be the answer at many of these questions here, okay? Anyway, so this bread came down. It's manna. Manna from heaven came down. And it was this really miraculous bread. First of all, it showed up every day. Every day they woke up, here it is again. And then God said, what I want you to do is every day go out and collect just what you need for today, because tomorrow I'll hook you up. Little transliteration there, okay? So he says, tomorrow I'll take care of you as well. Now, some people didn't trust God. They didn't say that God would keep his word. So what they tried to do, they took a double portion and they kind of put it under their little mat there. And the next day, when they opened it up, the scripture said it was wormy and stank, kind of like Wonder Bread, okay? So it was wormy and stank because they didn't obey God. But here's what's really neat. God said on the day before the Sabbath, the same bread, I want you to take a double portion because we're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. We're supposed to take the day off and rest and be with family and give thanks to God, okay? So although they kept the same manna the next day, it didn't become wormy and stank. So it was like pretty cool, this miraculous bread that came down from heaven. So now we were talking about a tabernacle earlier, right? A walking tabernacle. Well, what happened was tabernacle comes from the Latin word tabernaculum, so which means a tent. Right? So as they were traveling, they had a tent that they set up in the desert, and that's where God would meet with Moses face to face. And outside of it, they had this little altar, the altar of showbread. And they kept this special bread that they prayed over on this altar, and that would remind the Israelites of God's presence. So again, we see this theme of bread in our relationship with God. Now, another cool thing is David. David's on the run because he's trying to get, somebody wants to beat him up. It's not very nice, but it happens. You don't need to watch the Avengers. Read the Bible. The stories are so much better, okay? So he's on the run, and they come to this town. They have no food, and they go to the priest. They say, hey, priest, give us some food. And he says, all I have is the bread that was consecrated, the show bread. But he says, I'll tell you what. If you and your men are in a state of grace, then I'll let you eat this bread. And they said, yes, we've been in a state of grace. We've been saying our prayers. We've been living a good life. So yes. And says, okay, because you're in a state of grace, I will let you eat this bread. So with that background of the Old Testament, Jesus comes on the scene. And Jesus comes on, he has many teachings, but one beautiful teaching is in John 6. He says, I am the bread of life that has come down from heaven. So if you're a Jewish person hearing this, you're remembering, huh, bread that came down from heaven, manna, kind of miraculous, that's cool. But Jesus is saying, I came down from heaven as well. Only God's in heaven. And if Jesus came down from heaven, then Jesus is making a divine claim. I must be God. He also says, you have to eat my body and drink my blood. Now, at this point of the gospel, some people are like, that's kind of cuckoo talk, Jesus. What's going on here? But a little later, he starts to really explain it, and then they start to get it. So we go to the Last Supper, and the Last Supper, Jesus is celebrating the Passover, and he takes the bread, and he says, this is my body, right? Then he takes the chalice, he says, this is my blood. So he says, take this bread and eat it, right? If you eat the bread of life that Jesus is, you will live forever. Then he says, this is the blood of the covenant, which will be shed for the forgiveness of sins. Then he says, do this in memory of me. Do this in memory of me. So here we are, 2,000 years later, fulfilling that commandment that Jesus gave us. And we're going to be receiving in a few minutes what looks like bread and wine, but it's really a miraculous bread and wine because it's the body, blood, and soul divinity of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say the words of consecration over it, and it's going to become this miraculous bread. It's going to become like the bread that Melchizedek had, like the Passover bread, because it reminds us that God frees us from our sins. He frees us from the slavery of sin. It's also like the bread that's outside the tabernacle, right? We can come and spend time with God. when we have our Lord kept in the tabernacle here, we have him over in the Adoration Chapel, in our rectory across.